Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hello everybody, welcome to F1 Explains. My name is Christian Hugill and this is the official Formula One podcast that answers your questions about the sport. If you've ever sat there of a Sunday watching a Formula One race and thought, I wonder how that works, we can help with that. This is the place for you. Here's how it works. You email f1explains at f1.com, send your words, send us your email, send us your voice notes, and we will go out and find the best person or people in the world of Formula One to answer your question. Now, we love two things on this podcast. We love shining a light on the people who make F1 work, who maybe you don't usually get to hear from, and we love voice notes. So let's combine the two.
Hello, F1 Explains. My name is Dawn, and I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. I've been following Formula One for just a few years. Last year, I decided I wanted to get involved in motorsports, so I spent my summer race marshalling at my local track. I had a fantastic summer, learning everything I could from my fellow marshals, and I was surprised to learn that the marshals at many Formula One events are volunteers. So now my goal is to gain enough experience marshalling that one day I can attend the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal as a race marshal. I was hoping you could explain how the marshalling process works. How are Formula One marshals selected and what are their duties on the track? Thank you, F1 Explains. I love the podcast.
Well, Dawn is doing some marshalling at her local racetrack, but she wants to do it in Formula One. She wants to be one of the people in a bright orange jumpsuit, maybe orange is her colour, who stand at the side of the track. They wave the yellow, red and blue flags. They run out to clear debris after a crash. They're there to keep everyone safe, and F1 could not happen without them. Now, speaking of those flags, I'm fully aware that some of you listening to this podcast have been watching Formula One for months, years, even decades, and you'll know exactly what those flags mean. If you don't, absolutely fine. Just search Formula One flags, and the first thing that comes up is the official Formula One website and our beginner's guide to F1 flags. They're all listed there. It tells you exactly what you need to know. Now, this time next week, we will be at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, for the next round of the Formula One World Championship, the US Grand Prix. So right now, we're going to meet some of the marshals that work at the US Grand Prix. Me and Katie Osborne have been speaking to them about what they do, how they got to do it, and we'll tell you how you can join them should you want to do so. Our guests are Mike Vandermont. He is a US Grand Prix flag marshal working at the Circuit of the Americas since 2017. He's also a Formula One flag marshal for the Las Vegas Grand Prix. And we have an intervention marshal at the Circuit of the Americas, Jennifer Kelly. And we started by asking Mike to tell us just a little bit about what marshals do.
We are the first line of safety for the drivers. We can see things very quickly from the flag stand that they might not catch on camera, and we can get a flag, the appropriate flag, out to let all the other drivers know what might be happening on the track. And then from there, race control will take it over and kind of coordinate any efforts beyond that. But yeah, our first mission is safety for the drivers and for the crews that are out there.
Are drivers looking straight at the flags? Are they hearing it radio comms? And is their team saying, hey, what's the marshal saying?
We've seen all three when we talk to drivers. It really just depends on where they are on the track. If they where the flag stand is, they will catch that bright yellow flag out of their peripheral vision. And then the light panels will kick on. They'll hear either from their team or from race control, depending on the situation. All those things happen relatively quickly. But for us, it's really a matter of making sure that they understand that, yes, there is something on track or possibly just off track that they need to be aware of.
Jennifer, you marshals do different jobs, don't you? Just give us a rundown as to what those jobs are.
We have in our team, in our corner, on our turn, at a post, we have our LI, which is the lead intervention marshal. And then we have, it depends which turn it is.
Well, I'm going to stop you there. An intervention marshal. So I'm right in thinking they're the ones who run onto the track, recover cars, recover debris, people who we see running on and off track, right?
Correct, yes.
Carry on.
That's us.
Other jobs.
Then we have, so in the beginning, our lead will give the test to the marshals, and we have one that will assist with the car recovery and with helping the car. We have some that to push the car. It depends also what happens. If the car just stalls, if there's a crash, if they go in the wall, it all depends on the situation as well. But we also have a spotter who's usually also responsible for the fire extinguisher, brings it out in case something happens. And he usually also, or she, watches for oncoming traffic, that everyone is safe.
Then there's a chief post marshal, who I'm guessing is the most experienced. And also, I'm guessing, Mike, that's you, given it says on your tabard, chief post marshal. If not, where is the chief post marshal and why have you stolen their tabard? But yes, I'm guessing that's you. Mike, give us a run through of what your role will be.
So the chief post marshal organizes the team, makes sure that everybody knows where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. If they're utilizing a specific flag, if they're going to be on comms with race control, or if they're operating the light panel that's all around the track.
That's a specific role? Someone pushes the button?
Yes.
Okay. And they're not the ones running out to get the debris?
No.
Wow. That would these are little things that you don't think these would all be separate. You'd push the button, run out. But no, 100%. This is like someone's specific role.
Right. Any local flag is controlled by the light panel operator in conjunction with the flagger on the stand. They work together. So our light panel operator is literally right next to the stand. So if they see a flag go out, then they press the corresponding button to make sure that that kicks off trackside.
And then you've got a radio marshal who's in touch with FIA race control, reporting incidents and receiving instructions. But then I'm interested because I'm told there's a blue flag marshal and a yellow flag marshal. Jennifer, what are those guys focusing on specifically?
Blue flag marshals focusing on passing cars.
Lapped cars, when guys are,
right,
yeah, when the drivers are being lapped, sure.
Right.
And so I would guess by process of elimination, a yellow flag marshal, their job is specifically to look out for incidents that are going to disrupt the motor race when we
correct.
See a yellow flag come
yes.
out because of a danger or obstruction or something like that.
Right, correct.
And yellow flag marshals usually have more experience than blue flag marshals because yellow flag marshals have to be able to judge whether that flag's needed, whether an incident's a single yellow or serious enough for a double waved yellow, which is obviously more serious. Mike, is that where I'm imagining your experience comes in? Because it's simply people have been in and around and watching motorsport and in these officiating positions for longer.
There is an element to that, but the yellow flaggers that I work with, that I get assigned, they've been doing this for quite a while, so I have confidence in them to know, you know, is it a single waved, is it a double waved, whether depending on where the car is. And the most critical thing for F1 especially is, when do we pull the flag and let the racing resume? That's really the big one. If it's an incident where a car might spin, you get a flag out momentarily, the car goes, then we need to get that flag out and let the racing continue on and let race control know that the flag has been pulled.
In this flagging scenario, you're talking about, when we discussed at the very beginning, it seemed like it was like this long process, but you're saying it happens in minutes, you know, seconds.
It's all, for the experienced, especially the yellow flag marshals, it's muscle memory. They've been doing this long enough that they really don't think initially. They react, and then they will kind of figure out what's going on, and then they'll make the call.
Jennifer, can I give you a scenario? Imagine the scene. It's a crazy scene, but a car in Formula One has crashed or it has stopped out on track. What happens? What do the marshals do?
We think. Don't panic. I think that is really like keeping a clear and cool mind in that moment, because that is, I think, the first, like, what you're gonna do? Are you gonna run? You wanna help? And is the drive okay? But truly, you have to wait for race control. You check if there's any, is there any danger? What is with the safety light, with the ERS system? You check for those, then you wait for your lead, who's going to get the okay to go or not from race control.
What happens from there, Jennifer? If you've gone onto the track, for example, mm-hmm. what's the next stage of that incident where there is the car stopped, there's been a spin or something like that? What happens next?
We will look at the scenario, what's going on, is the driver safe, is there any kind of fluids, oil, are there broken pieces, why did he stop, is there anything that we see that race control cannot see. But then again, our lead waits for race control. When we go out, everyone has their task. Again, depending on the car, what happened, either we push it or we have to get it on lift, have to clear out the debris, have to check on the driver. Is everything okay?
Mike, from your position, when an incident's happened, what goes through your mind? What are you thinking first?
First, it's you know, always get the flag out. Then assess the situation, let race control know what's happening. And if they do decide that the interveners need to come out, we absolutely want to make sure that they are protected. Sometimes they might be out on not necessarily a full hot track, but with cars on course under a safety car scenario. We want to make sure that those drivers all know there is something going on, and keep the flag out until everything is cleared, the last person's off, and we get permission from race control to pull everything back and let the race resume. So for us, their safety becomes our biggest priority.
And Mike, when you are out on a track, on a live racetrack, what are the marshals thinking about? How are they ensuring that they're not only keeping the drivers safe, but they're also keeping themselves safe?
Well, generally on a team, you're going to designate roles. And for most of the teams in the events like F1, somebody kind of acts as a spotter just to make sure that they are keeping an eye on what's happening up track, upstream, as if there's cars still circulating, if we're not red flag. And can help make sure that they let the other marshals who are doing the intervention know that we still have cars out. You know, we're under a safety car. We haven't red flagged, so everybody needs to be careful. And again, that's where that visual communication between the flag stand and the intervention team has to come in, where we absolutely want to keep them covered and make sure that the cars on the course know that there's still people out there. Please slow down. You know, please keep an eye out for anybody that's on an intervention team out on track.
One of our listener questions is Jake from Germany. Jennifer, nice little nod to the Germany there.
Yes.
Mike, are flag marshals authorized to wave any of the racing flags at their discretion, or do they require approval from the race director before doing so?
It's a mix, actually. The flag, like a yellow flag, single wave, double waved, that's at the sole discretion of the flag marshal. So that one is critical. That's really because it's a timing thing. We want to make sure that those flags get out as quick as possible so that the rest of the cars coming up behind the incident know that there is something that they need to be aware of. The marshals can also put out a white flag for a slow-moving vehicle. Not last lap, that comes from the start stand, but for a slow-moving vehicle. We can put out what we call the surface flag if there's any debris on the track that might pose a hazard to the drivers, the cars. The marshals can post one of those. We call that in. They do check on the camera, and if it needs to be pulled, they'll let the marshal know it needs to be pulled. But that is also one that is marshal discretion. The big no-nos are obviously the red flag. That can only come from race control. Any type of a black flag, sportsmanship or otherwise, that also comes from race control. And then when an incident has been cleared, then the flaggers will let race control know. And if we're under any type of a safety car, then they will come back and tell the marshal net that it's we need to pull the flags and get ready to go back to racing.
Dana says, I've noticed that when there is a crash or when a yellow flag is needed, the marshals will sometimes wave green flags just before the switch to a yellow. This doesn't make sense to me. If there's a crash, shouldn't the marshals just wave a yellow flag immediately?
I've seen incidents start in other stations and end up in mine. And when that happens, you have to change flags very quickly. So if something happens just upstream from your station, they're yellow, you're green, and something then occurs in your station, then you've got to pull the green and switch to yellow very quickly, and then the next station will be green. And I, like I said, you do this long enough, you see it. It doesn't happen very often, but we will see scenarios where that will occur.
Is that a visual? You see the station in front of you, or is that your radio letting you know that there's something at the station in front of you?
So if we have to switch from green to yellow, that's visual. Because that has happened in the station. To go green from the previous station, we have to listen for that. We have to know who the upstream station is. They're yellow. We need to put the green flag out to let the racers know that they can begin racing again and can pass. So generally, if something happens on track and the station has a double waving yellow flag out, the two yellow flags, the preceding station will put out a single waving just to kind of pre-warn the drivers that then when they get to that next station, they see a double waving. That means there is something significant enough that they need to really slow way down and pay attention. And then the trailing station will always have a green flag.
And that's communicated between all sets of teams at, say, station 7, 8, 9 via comms? Or is it you can visually eye 7 if
it's
you're
both.
At 8?
It just depends on where the stations are. Some stations we have good visibility to, and some we just have to listen and make sure that we're paying attention to their flag condition.
Mike, you've marshalled at the Circuit of the Americas, which is a big open racetrack, lots of runoff. You've also marshalled at Las Vegas, which is a street circuit, no runoff whatsoever, a very narrow track. How does the circuit affect your job?
Well, there's the main thing with the two types of circuits is here we're actually up in flag stands. We have good visibility in both directions. We can see different parts of the track. Our situational awareness improves dramatically at a purpose-built track like Circuit of the Americas. And in Vegas and in those street types, of course, is Miami that I've worked before. You really have to rely on the communication. You have to listen. You have to know who's upstream and who's downstream, because in most of those instances, you just can't see what's happening on either side of you. And it's critical to really be honed in on what's happening on each side of your flag stand.
As an intervention marshal, you mentioned you have to go on track. You clean things up. You make sure the debris is all clear. But you also do it so quickly. It's amazing that when you guys clean up cars off the track, it hardly takes away from the race. Oftentimes, it hardly takes away from the race. How do you do it? And is it like a physical in shape, or is it a teamwork? What's behind it?
All of it, yes. But I think the biggest aspect of that is having good communication between your team, having a good lead who gives you the task. And if you know exactly on your turn where you at, where's your access, how can you get a car off the track, what is the fastest way, who does what, who gets rid of the debris. If you have all of those set, it can go quickly, and it has to go quickly. I mean, we have to go, like, you don't walk, you run, you move, you get going, and you want that it goes quick so the race can continue.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it's actually like teamwork out there, but it's not like you get to practice each and every one of these race weekends. It's when you come to COTA, the team gets together again, right? And you have a year break between the last time you had to react together.
Yeah, it is. It can be quite intimidating being on, you know, on the radio, having race control, you know, you have your job, even though you know you have your job, and it's still exciting. And if you don't have the experience, it's all like nervous and you don't want to do any mistakes. So coming back again to teamwork, if you have a good team, you just stay calm. Everyone has their tasks and it should be smooth.
How did you guys both get into being a marshal?
It started actually for me coming from Germany. I didn't know about all of the possibilities there are in the United States for racing, and I did the Skip Barber Racing School a couple of years back.
Woo-hoo. I'm a big fan.
And,
yeah, it's cool.
This way I learned about SCCA, the Sports Car Club of America, and motorsports. And I started, as soon as I was done with the racing school, I signed up. I looked, Googled SCCA. I signed up for SCCA track nights, to volunteer the track nights, to volunteer for any kind of races I could find, really. And then through motorsport track, got the invite for F1, signed up at the Texas region, and here I am. It's my second year.
Yeah, my brother actually raced, and just putting it bluntly, he got a discount if I went out and flagged.
Wow.
God, that's a
you laugh.
That's some family love right there. Friends
know,
and family.
I was already at the track with him. You know, I was a mechanic. I helped him in those weekends. I fell in love with it. It was just that one of those things, and I just enjoyed it, and here I am.
Jennifer, Mike, it's been such a pleasure having you on F1 Explains. I would like to say, on behalf of Formula One fans across the world, thank you. We often hear commentators say it can't be said often enough. You guys risk your own safety. You stand out there in all weathers, come rain or shine. You have long days having to be hugely concentrated so we can enjoy fantastic motorsports, Formula One. Without marshals, we don't go racing. None of this is here. So thank you for what you do, guys. We really appreciate it. Formula One fans around the world should be grateful.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on F1 Explained, and we're going to look a little bit more about how to become a marshal in just a couple of minutes' time.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome back to F1 Explains, where this week we're taking you to Austin, Texas, to the Circuit of the Americas, ahead of next week's US Grand Prix. We are looking at the wonderful world of marshalling. And before the break, you heard exactly what marshals do, exactly how they respond to incidents. Now it's time to look a little bit about how you can get involved with marshalling, should you want to. Let's talk to Sydney Davis Yeagel. Sydney works for the Sports Car Club of America. It is her job to get people started with marshalling and other trackside jobs.
So I am the first touch point when an interested marshal goes to SECA.com/trackside. It's a website that kind of explains all of the different various marshal positions within the SECA. And I then take where they're located and connect them with their local leadership so that they can start at the grassroots level. And ultimately, a lot of folks have aspirations of becoming an F1 marshal. And this is really the easiest way to start, because it really gives you the opportunity to gain that experience that Mike and Jennifer were talking about earlier.
And we have lots of people who listen to this podcast in America, Sydney. And we'll talk a little bit more about other parts of the world later on. But if people do want to get involved in marshalling here in the US and think, actually, this sounds like a bit of me, how do you get started? What's the first step?
So the first step is just showing up. So once you know who your local region is, or even show up at your local racetrack, oftentimes SECA regions have partnerships with their racetracks, and just say, hey, I'm interested. I want to volunteer. I want to be a flagger, or I want to work grid. Or I like the technical side of things, and I would prefer to be a technical inspector or scrutineer. And then you've got folks that do timing and scoring. And then there's also various levels of stewarding. Those typically take a little bit more experience. And then we have registrars, who are the first face that you see when you show up at the racetrack. So really, there's kind of something for everybody. And all you have to do is say, hey, I'm interested. So
it's fun to hear that, because I think a lot of people would just like raise their hand and say, yes, I want to be a part of it. You are that front person for the for these people. What kind of people make good marshals from your experience?
People that are interested to work as a team. Obviously, motorsport fans are,
that
are
helps.
Ideal. You kind of want to like what you're
doing.
I mean,
doing. You could love a flag.
It's true. That's
that
true.
Happens too.
There are people that I have to laugh because, like, as a growing up, I grew up in the SCCA, and growing up, people are like, oh, you must know how to work on your car. And I'm like, no, like, I don't care about cars. Like, I like driving them, but I don't know, like, the car that's driving on the street.
That's not an essential part of the job.
Exactly. Like, as long as I know how my car works, that's all that matters, yeah, right? Yeah. And so I think it's a little bit of that. So there's people that are interested in cars, and that's what draws them in. We have a saying in the SCCA, you come for the cars, but you stay for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I've heard that.
Yeah, and I really feel like whether it's the SCCA, whether it's a professional event, it's really the people that make the event and that family feeling, and they're the ones that make you want to come back. But yeah, I mean, pretty much if you're looking at various specialties, you can nuance kind of who's better in what area. If we're looking at, say, F1 marshals, typically folks that are a little bit more nimble and can carry a fire bottle and don't mind running fast, they'll make a better intervention marshal than someone who's like, I'm good with just standing on station and being able to see and then throw that flag. So there's some nuances to who makes a better marshal in certain areas. But then there's some that it's just anybody who's interested and jump right in.
And of course, you know, you probably wouldn't start your career in Formula One marshalling. There are the series, you can work your way up, and you've mentioned a couple of the, you know, attributes that are helpful for F1 marshalling. But in terms of marshals as a whole, what sort of, you know, character person makes a good marshal?
So I think someone who's willing to be a team player and willing to learn. There are a lot of things that are very specific and very dangerous about motorsports. So if you go in thinking, oh, I know about racing and I can do this,
I can wave a flag, it ain't nothing to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can potentially put yourself or a driver in danger just by your arrogance. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes it's really good to kind of come in with that observation mode so that you can learn about a specific role, a specific specialty. But I also think that if you have other backgrounds that lend themselves to that type of work environment. So we see a lot of volunteer firefighters or active retired duty military that come into the intervention role because they have that kind of physical set that's needed to be an intervention marshal. But they also have like that high stress, understanding chain of command type of experience. And so maybe they don't have a lot of motorsports experience, but they'll be really, really good and really equipped to understand the whole hierarchy.
And keeping it here stateside before we go international with this, it's not just about marshalling. With SCCA signing up that way, there's other ways you can volunteer at a race weekend?
One way that's kind of marshal adjacent, we have a marshal support team, and it's their job to make sure that the marshals have lunches and food and water, that they help with the registration to get all of their stuff so that the marshals are ready and can do their job. But there's also like what we call guest facing opportunities. So you could be an usher, you could be a greeter. They do a lot of stuff in the Grand Plaza that unfortunately some of the marshals don't ever get to see because it's happening while the cars are on track. But there's all sorts of ways that, Circuit of the Americas has as opportunities for people to volunteer if trackside is too intimidating or not up your alley.
Well, Sydney obviously works for the Sports Car Club of America. So if you are in the USA, you can go to scca.org/trackside to get information on signing up to be a marshal. And around the world, there are various other local motorsport organisations that can help you. There's Motorsport UK for the British Grand Prix. There's the Automobile Club de la Notre Dame in Canada. There's Motorsport Australia. There's Officials Club Automobile Sports, the OCA, in the Netherlands. And if you live elsewhere, you can find information on the official website of your nearest Grand Prix or your country's motorsport governing body, or a very simple technique that often works. Quite simply Google motorsport marshalling and the country you live, and you'll probably find good information from there.
Yeah, I think this is surprising to me, Sydney, because a lot of this, and we get asked often, how do you get involved? What a, not simple, but what an efficient way to start getting involved in motorsport, to
yeah.
move your way up.
Yes, absolutely. I grew up in the SECA, so I crossed that bridge easily, just because I was familiar with it. But even when I first started, I just knew about driving because my dad was a racer, and that's how I started. And then I realized, oh, there's people that put on races and organize things, and it takes flaggers and it takes tech officials. And then as I progress through the grassroots area, you learn about all of the opportunities from a pro level. So it really is a great start to kind of get your feet wet and go from there.
Sydney, thank you so much for joining us on F1 Explains. We really appreciate it. And before we go, we need to say hello to an F1 Explains listener who is a marshal. We've had lots of questions about marshalling, and even a listener who is a marshal, Hillary, who's emailed to say that she's a marshal at the Las Vegas Grand Prix. So Hillary, thank you for the work you do, and thank you for listening to F1 Explains. Sydney, great having you on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks
for having me.
Before we go, there are other official Formula One podcasts as well. There is Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation. There's F1 Explains here, of course, which has new episodes every Friday. Please like and follow us and subscribe. We have new episodes every Friday. And send us your questions. Katie, how might people do that?
All you got to do is send it via email to f1explains@f1.com, or you can send it via a voice note as
you
well.
You do like a voice note, don't you?
Never pass up a voice note. f1explains@f1.com. And as we like to say, producer Chris does literally read them and or listen to them, each and every single one of them, all year long.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to all the wonderful motorsport marshals all around the world who keep us being able to watch fantastic motorsport racing. We are back answering more of your questions here on F1 Explains next week. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.